Derek Warren here with Effingham County Sheriff Paul Coons. Thanks for joining me again today.
Oh, you bet, Derek. I enjoy coming up here.
Yeah, well, and just the release earlier this week about telecommunicators. It's their week this week, and we're going to recognize them and all of the unseen work that they do. They're kind of they don't get quite the recognition that they should, but they are first responders, just like the ones that are out on the scene as well. Sometimes the first ones that actually talk to the person on scene. So, and they got to know both what's going on with the person involved in it, and then the first responders got to make sure they know all the right information and any other sort of personnel that would be involved in it. So they got to know both angles.
You're right, and this is a good topic. The 13th through the 19th this year of April, National Telecommunicators Week. And before I start, I'm going to describe all of the stuff that telecommunicators have to learn. I'm going to say how hard they work, how sometimes it's so stressful. But I don't know if I should do that because we are always looking for good people to be telecommunicators.
Don't want to scare them away. Yeah.
So if I tell you how demanding it is, maybe I won't get as many applicants. But you are absolutely right. They're usually the first person that talks to a victim or a witness. They're the first person that we talk to. They're, you know, the voice on the other end of the line when someone calls into our office. And they do have to have an immense amount of training. I talk about that when I talk to prospective candidates for telecommunicator. I say, we don't have any other position here that demands so much, requires so much training, but yet you don't get rich doing it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't pay bad. But it's demanding work that is critically important. When we hire a telecommunicator, we got to remember too, they do more than dispatch police on the radio. Yeah. They also dispatch fire, so they have to know the procedures for that. They dispatch or tone out the dive team. They tone out and dispatch ambulance. So they've got a lot of different things they have to learn. What I am in awe of all the medical training they have to have. Yeah. Because they have to be certified to give pre-arrival instructions. So if you call in and maybe you have a family member that something's happened to you, need to do CPR. They talk you through that. They know different procedures to be able to tell you what to do before the ambulance gets there.
Yeah,
a lot of people probably don't know that unless they have called in an emergency themselves.
Yeah, they got to have at least the general knowledge of what to do in certain situations, and that they have training for that, and then obviously they got to be able to talk well and talk someone down in case they're very emotional at the time as well. They got to get them focused.
Yes, yes. And the training is very extensive, and they have to be certified in that. When we hire a telecommunicator, this is where I was going with this. It may be 6 months before they are able to work what we call second chair, which means work in tandem with another telecommunicator and take calls for service. It takes a lot of on-the-job training, to get to the point where you can handle those calls for service. And mm-hmm. Something else I say, and because, believe it or not, years and years ago, I was a real police officer and worked the street. It's sort of hard to imagine now, but I tell people a good telecommunicator is worth their weight in gold. Because they're the voice of reason. They are the one that's always one step ahead of you and anticipating what information you may need when you're out on the street dealing with the situation. So a good telecommunicator is a real asset for our office.
Yeah, and it's designed that way for them to be one step ahead because they kind of have to be. They got to make sure that they know what's going on. That way they can relay the right information to the first responders that are going to the scene or ones that need to know what's going on at the time. They got to be able to describe it right. That way they know what they're getting they're going into so they can prepare for it.
And they have to ask the right questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's probably not a surprise to you, but I am – hopelessly not qualified to be a telecommunicator or to be in that to be in that chair. It takes a lot of training, but I will say this: if you can do that work and you're able to do that work, I don't think there are a lot of other things that maybe would make you happy to do. And what I mean by that is when you sit in that position, you change lives on a almost daily basis. And there's not a lot of professions, there's not a lot of things to do that you could say that. I mean, they affect people every day. And that, I would think, is very fulfilling. Now, having said that, though, I've heard some of the calls. I've seen, some of the reports. I've been there when calls are really bad and they don't work out well. And we're better about that now, having help for people when they need it. But it can take a toll emotionally on someone, I'm sure, because, some of those calls are heartbreaking. You know, we try to recognize when they do a great job, but sometimes no matter how good of a job you do, you can't change an outcome, and we all understand that, but I'm just saying this is, it takes the right kind of person to be a telecommunicator.
Yeah, the right mentality to keep your cool while somebody else may be freaking out on the other side of the line. You got to be able to get it under control and keep it as cool as you can until the medical personnel arrive that know exactly what to do in those situations. Like you said before, they are the first ones that talk to the person that's in an emergency situation. So they don't know what they're getting into until they start talking to the person.
That's right, and that's why they have to know what questions to ask and how to deal with so many different situations. And sometimes, they have, it's managed mayhem if they have two or three accidents happening at the same time. It can get crazy busy where, the information is coming in and going out at a rapid pace. But you can also have, maybe a midnight shift at 3 a.m. That's not busy, that you're not, it's not so hectic, but it can change in just an instant. And we never brag about not being busy because there's some kind of hex or curse that if you say those words, then
yeah,
the next few minutes, mayhem will break out. So, but it's not that way all the time, but there, I ought to mention too, and most people know, we have what we consider to be 1-911 service that's answered in two places. The county, the phone calls from outside the city come into the county 911, and the ones in the city limits come into city's 911 center. And what's nice about that is each system can back up the other one. We could even pick up all of our people and they could go to the city and sit down and for the most part be able to work in that station. Or if we have so many calls that we're having trouble keeping up, if it came to it, city can also help by taking some calls or, doing some of the tasks, and it works both ways. I mean, the county can do for the city also, and that that is that's really an asset to have, because it multiplies our capabilities. But I've said that before. We try to work well with everyone, but the city police, we've got a great relationship with them, and it makes us a stronger sheriff's office.
Yeah, it's always critical to have a backup in case you need it, and for both of you to have that already, that's very critical in situations like that, and it can help in dire situations make the best outcome possible.
Yes.
Because you got all hands on deck, and everyone knows what they're doing and knows what to do in certain situations. Yes. Their training just kicks in.
Yes, and I think also it helps because, you know, we all know each other. We probably have between the city and county 18 or 20 telecommunicators, and they all know each other, which yeah. We know them too, you know, and that helps. But, you know, it's not just sometimes people think, you know, when they call, they hear a female voice or they think of telecommunicators as women. That's not really so much true. We have men at our facility that are telecommunicators, good telecommunicators. Now, sometimes we do. I can think of a couple telecommunicators that, you know, men and women both, that went on to be police officers or correctional officers. But the people we have that are telecommunicators, that is a profession, and that's a career. And if you've ever been a police officer out on the street, you really appreciate them.
Yeah, you've been there on the front lines having to rely on them for information. That definitely gives you perspective on how big their role is in these certain situations. So, and during their week, you want to make sure to highlight that because they definitely do a great job.
Yes, and it's nice to have Telecommunicators Week because we need to recognize that. We need to, you know, understand that because they are sort of behind the scenes. They're not usually the ones that are seen in the newspaper or on the web, you know, with their pictures because they're in the control room working. And we call that, you know, that control room is the nerve center of our entire office because not only do they take the emergency calls, they also, you know, run in the doors, the electronic locks, the cameras, you know, everything goes through that front office.
Yeah. Yeah, they're critical to the role. It's great to shine a light on them because they deserve it. And they're tirelessly working every day to make sure that people they save lives. And their job is just for that. It's to help save lives on that end and inform the officers and first responders on the other end. So in a way they got to know different things from both being on scene and like dispatching police officers into the area as well. They got to know, and that includes terminology as well.
Yes. And I have never been a telecommunicator, but I hear them talk about it, that it's different being in that room. Sometimes you don't always get closure about how a call turns out or what happens once the EMS or police officers arrive. And that is something I never thought about before, but I can see how that, you know, may be hard because you don't always know what happens to those calls, you know, after you're disconnected.
Yeah, a similar, I guess, an analogy to that. It's nowhere near the gravity of it, but you're playing a football game and a cornerback gets burned on a play, gets burned for a touchdown. He's got to have no memory of that and go back out there and play at the highest level on the next play so that doesn't happen again. And that's the same mindset these people have. Obviously, this is a lot more important, and their role is saving lives, but they got to kind of have a short memory with that sort of thing and move on to the next call as if nothing happened.
Well, it is. I think it is emotionally, you know, difficult sometimes. But, you know, I remember and I know that the people that we have doing it are professionals, and you know, they train, they work hard, they have a calling, and they do a great job. And before I go, though, it's a shameless plug, if I may add. If you think you have what it takes, please call the Effingham County Sheriff's Office. There are times that we hire telecommunicators. Oftentimes we start part-time, you know, and we try to work around people's schedules, and we pay to train. You know, you get paid while you're trained to do this. So if you think that, you know, you have what it takes and you want to change lives on a daily basis, give us a call. Talk to our telecommunications supervisor, Tina Daniels, and we'll let you know when we have spots open or we're going to test.
Yeah, and you could be the one saving lives as well. So it's a tough job, but it's a necessary job and a thankless job as well. So
sometimes, but I think some of the, you know, most of the people we have probably, they have a calling. This is what they do, you know.
Yeah.
So it's probably hard to do anything else. They're professionals in a fast-paced profession. So I'm thankful for that we have those people.
Yeah, we're all thankful for them and appreciate your time talking about them and highlighting what they do.